WA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the FWA podcast. Every week we get one of the best football writers in the business to talk to us about the burning issues in the game. This week, no different, we've got David Woods, the chief football reporter at the Daily Star, on the line. David, we had to hit record because we've just been rattling on for about 5 minutes and realised we weren't recording any of it.
That's good stuff as well.
Yeah. Welcome along to the podcast.
Thanks,
we're going to have a look back at the European midweek and then look forward to the Capital One Cup final and the two live Premier League games on Sunday as well. We might prize a best bet of the weekend out of David as well as we go along. It's not been the best of midweeks for British clubs. We'll start in the Champions League. We'll start with Man City. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, that they seem to shrink in personality and ability when they come up against the cream of European football. Men sent off, the discipline in terms of shape and discipline in some terms of tackling, and just seems to desert them. Admittedly, they were much better in the second half, but it almost seemed like Barcelona had kind of eased off the pedal a little bit in the second half as well.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't believe quite how overawed they were in the first half. You know, they weren't marking, they weren't tackling. I mean, you look at Suarez's second goal, he had six sky blue shirts around him and he scored. You know, it was Alba, had no one within 10 yards of him. It was schoolboy stuff. You know, I'd never seen a team of that sort of ability shrink so much. They just have got a huge inferiority complex when it comes to these big teams, it seems, and Pellegrini doesn't seem to be able to do anything about it, does he?
No, the fans as well. I mean, obviously Man City fans of old, you know, maybe they're being, not being pushed out, but maybe they're not quite there in the numbers they were, but
no.
It seemed a strange atmosphere there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I've spoken to Man City fans of old who remarkably aren't really that bothered about the Champions League. It's, you know, they'd still rather win the Premier League. It doesn't seem like it's part of their club yet.
No, maybe it's a safety mechanism, you know, they're just dealing with it that way. But you're right about the atmosphere. You know, I was there at the game and obviously there nice and early, and it seemed like you'd think they were playing, you know, Burnley, not Barcelona. There's no real cut in the air. You normally can feel it, can't you, when there's a real buzz. I suppose they've been disappointed so many times. Like I say, they're just preparing themselves for the worst. And I think they got it quite quickly, didn't they? You know, certainly the first half. And as you say, the second half, you know, it couldn't have got worse, could it? It couldn't have been worse in the second half. I think he must have said a few things like, hey, how about you tackle? How about you mark? How about you stop gazing at Messi and Marini and go and tackle him and maybe tackle some of the people around him or mark the people around him? It was a weird, weird night.
You know? Yeah, it was. Yeah, they're out to 50-1 to win the Champions League, not surprisingly. Now, the other game in the Champions League, of course, was Arsenal against Monaco. I promised to be a great night for Arsene Wenger with his ties to Monaco, obviously the 1992 Cup Winners' Cup final, and he won titles and cups with them. This is a team who had only scored four goals in their group games, only conceded one, but no sign of that. Arsenal were wasteful, but they were also extremely naive, David, weren't they? 2-1 down, maybe other teams might have thought, right, okay, we're 2-1 down, this isn't the worst situation in the world, let's just batten down the hatches, finish this night off and get over to France and see if we can win the game. Yet they did it again. The naivety came through again. A World Cup winning defender should have more about him, in my opinion, to say to the team, this is it. We slow down. Or the manager, someone needs to take responsibility, don't they?
Well, that's what's interesting. That after the game, you know, Wenger was, you know, very critical. Mertesacker said we were naive. And I felt like they were talking about a match they'd been watching. Mm. Yeah, it's all right for these people to do it, but sometimes you'd like someone to stand up and say, you know, why this is happening and what they're going to do about stopping it from happening again. Because I actually went in the mix zone and asked Mertesacker, I said, can you tell me who was to blame? You know, do you have a set pattern that you play when you're 1-0 down or 2-1 down or whatever in the last minute where who goes, who stays? You know, I'm sure Jose Mourinho will have that at Chelsea. He'll be drummed into his players. We're a goal down, stoppage time, extra time, whatever you call it now, added time, sorry, get it right. you go up, you stay, you know, it'll be drilled into them with Arsenal, and QPR did against Liverpool in the season. You know, all these players bomb up and the manager say, oh, they're shocking, they're terrible, but there's responsibility there. You know, this is a business. You should give these people jobs so they know exactly what to do when this situation arises, you know, but someone's got to be to blame for that lack of discipline. And I think it is Wenger. You know, they should know what to do in that situation. And they clearly didn't. They all just went steaming up there. And we're like, again, like the other game we were talking about, Man City, it was like sort of under fives or under tens playing. It was kids stuff, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, not really for the first time. Yeah.
No, exactly.
You've actually been out to see Arsene Wenger this morning as we record this.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like water off a duck's back to him in a sense? Because I mean, he's been through this so many times, and I'm sure they'll still finish in the top four, and they'll qualify for the Champions League again, and they may well go out at this stage again. It's a strange way. It's almost. You know, money aside, obviously, it's almost pointless qualifying if you're just going to go doing the same thing year after year.
Must be frustrating
being an Arsenal fan.
It must be, yeah. As we said before we started recording, you know, deja vu all over again. And it is a bit with the games, it is a bit with the Champions League, the league. And I think the fans are getting frustrated. It's almost like there's no drama anymore, is there? The only drama, I suppose, is whether they finish fourth or not. And they always do end up finishing fourth. You know, food poisoning happening one year and obviously some fake results. But, yeah, I can see it's a strange thing to complain about, isn't it, to keep qualifying for the Champions League. But, yeah, they are incredibly consistent, aren't they? Fourth every year, and they're going to be consistent again by going out at the first knockout stage for the fifth successive time. And, you know, fans perhaps ought to be careful what they wish for. You know, sometimes, you know, they might think this isn't good enough. But it kind of is, but it kind of isn't, because it just is so repetitive, and it must sort of drain them a bit watching it. And certainly you hear a lot of moaning and groaning around there, and it was particularly strong on Wednesday. You know, not booing or Wenger out, but we've had that already, haven't we? We've had that before this season, Wenger out. And it'll happen again soon, won't it? It's a weird club.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? The return leg, it's a mountain to climb. Especially against such a tight Monaco defence. I mean, I think they've kept five successive clean sheets in Ligue 1. I'm just looking back to the last time they conceded three at home was September the 9th, 2011. in any competition, that is.
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
was in Ligue 2.
And four goals in 18 they've conceded, and they did look good. They reminded me a bit of a Mourinho team. You know, the manager is obviously Portuguese as well, and I think he studied. They all work so hard. You know, they all do what Arsenal don't do. You get upfield, you make sure once you've lost the ball, you're tracking back. And did we see them caught on? You know, I know they're a counter-attacking team, but they were never caught out, where they looked so solid. You know, I know there were chances, but nothing was to do with them being caught out of position. He drilled it into them, you know, the manager, to follow their, you know, tasks to the letter, which Arsenal don't do they?
Yeah. The price for Arsenal to win the Champions League, by the way, is 40-1. Bayern Munich are the favourites at 5-2. Real Madrid 11-4. Barcelona 100-30. And then you jump up to Chelsea at 7-1, who of course have got the return leg against PSG to play at 1-1. Atletico Madrid 20-1. Juventus 25s. 33-1 for PSG, and then Arsenal come next with Borussia Dortmund. The Europa League, again, a fairly disappointing night. Liverpool losing 1-0 and then losing on penalties, and Tottenham losing to Fiorentina. To be fair, both teams weakened down, David. So, I mean, not a complete surprise, and I'm not sure how disappointed they'll be this morning.
Exactly what I was going to say. It's a bit like Chelsea going out of the FA Cup. They had to pretend to be disappointed, but I don't think they particularly were. And qualifying for the Champions League. I know you can qualify for the first time for the Champions League by winning the Europa League, but if you're going to win the Europa League, it's going to obviously affect your chances of qualifying for the Champions League through the league. And managers think long and hard now about priorities. And I think it's almost like a subconscious wish to get knocked out, isn't it? I know they've never admitted it to anyone or even themselves, but I think sometimes privately they think, oh, thank God that's over. You know, Tottenham as well, they didn't need a game, you know, just before the Capital One Cup final, did they? So that might sort of make them even less inclined to push for it because of the knowledge it can impact on very, very important games coming up. So it wasn't a great shock, was it? And the fact that Everton, who have not much else to play for, did do so well because they were motivated and it means so much to them as they're having such a sort of dubious season.
Yeah, I suppose they need a few, probably about 8-10 more points to make sure they stay in the Premier
Absolutely.
League. But they'll get those. I'm sure they'll get those. And, you know, a great opportunity for them to progress in this tournament now. And Celtic, to be fair to say, I thought they'd go to Inter Milan and maybe lose comfortably, especially when they had the sending off. But they took it right to the wire still, didn't they?
I know they were
up against it because of the three away goals, but a 1-0 win would have done it, wouldn't it?
Exactly, and three sending offs don't help, do they?
No, not at all.
Actually, you could almost claim that as a victory, a moral victory, I think they can claim that as, can't they?
Yeah.
Let them have that one. They don't get much up in Scotland, although I better be careful what I say. I'm sure. Scottish listeners, but no, that's not a terrible result, was it?
It's back to the Premier League this weekend, and of course we've got the Capital One Cup final. The build-up to the Cup final on Sunday is decent as well. If you're a football fan, you've got nothing else to do, then from noon onwards you can pretty much shut yourself down.
Yeah.
Liverpool Man City at noon. Obviously both coming back off disappointing European games like we've mentioned. Liverpool just over 2-1 at 21-10. It's the same price for the draw, and Man City the favourites of the three results at 7-5. Intriguing matchup this one, isn't it? Both obviously need to put Man City need to win every game between now and the end of the season to realistically have any chance of winning the title, don't they? Because Chelsea need to drop points. Chelsea need to drop probably more points than they're likely to drop, actually.
Yeah.
City have to go for this, don't they?
They do have to go for it, but they're not playing little. I know Liverpool, we just talked that they've lost, but Liverpool do seem to have got their act together, don't they? Mm. There just seems to be a bit of a good vibe there for the first time over the last few weeks. You know, it's all gloom and doom and Balotelli and losing Suarez and Gerrard going, but everything seems to have just calmed down a bit, and they do seem to be a lot more like the team we saw last season. And I kind of got a vested interest, I might as well confess now, I tipped them to win the title. So, yeah, I didn't put any money on, thankfully, so thank you know, 15 points behind. I know that's not a come in, but it'd be nice if they came, you know, when your horse comes with a late dash.
Maybe
if the season had another 10 games, they would have got up on the line. But so I'm quite pleased to see them being not as terrible as I feared they were going to be a few months back. So I think it's a huge game for City, and it's interesting to see if they'll recover from the huge knock they had the other night to their confidence, because it must have an impact, a game like that, when someone like Kompany, you know, Skipper looks so poor, and you know, and Deco looked poor, and the midfield looked average. So I don't know if we're looking for tips now, but I fancy Liverpool to win that one.
Right.
I really do.
Yeah,
that's a good price.
Yeah, I mean, City would if City were to win it, they'd close to within 2 points of Chelsea, of course, who don't play this this weekend with the cup final. And Liverpool would, if results went for them, could go into fourth position and leapfrog Manchester United. It will be an intriguing one, that one. One interesting thing is looking at City coming back from Europe this year, not quite as good as they have been in previous Champions League seasons either. Usually they come back and win against most teams. I think Chelsea are the only team really who have beaten them in the past. And of the 11 goals they've scored this season, 9 of them have come after half-time. So it could be these noon kickoffs and early kickoffs on a Saturday can sometimes be a little bit drab in the first half, can't they?
Exactly.
It might be worth looking at maybe it being a fairly tight tactical first half, but maybe opening up in the second. Arsenal Everton, we've talked a lot about Arsenal, of course, and Everton already in the European midweek. Everton's form coming back from Europa League has been like Jekyll and Hyde, really. I mean, they go and beat Wolfsburg 4-1, you know, in the group stages, and come back and haven't really done it. The away form's not been very clever at all. Do you see them doing? They went to Chelsea and tried to set up for a draw, and were about a minute or two from getting it. Willian scored in the 89th minute. I wonder if they'll do the same at the Emirates and just look for a point here.
Yeah, I'd have thought so. Just thinking it would have been a good gag with Jekyll and Hyde, if you were talking about that. Sorry, it's a Daily Star style pun there.
Very good.
I imagine Everton, they're not going to be ambitious, are they? Everyone's going to see what happened with Arsenal, and they're just going to hope they can catch them on the break. That's going to be, it's kind of like a policy a lot of teams adopt this year. I don't imagine them going there all out. And, that game, again, it depends how Arsenal have recovered, doesn't it? Everton's chances depend on how psychologically scarred, in particular, Giroud is. You know, I think he's going to have to play him because he doesn't seem to have another option for a central centre forward. So that'd be the curious thing to see what they come out like, because they're a very fragile team, Arsenal, aren't they? Yeah, they do seem sort of flaky at times. Yeah, I'm not sure if Everton are. I think Everton just been a bit disappointing. But I think that's going to be a tight game, that one.
Yeah, it does look a very tight game, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
The way Everton have been playing, especially in the Premier League. The Capital One Cup final then follows Arsenal versus Everton at 4 p.m. at Wembley. Chelsea playing Tottenham. Of course, Chelsea have had a much easier build-up to this game, not having to travel into Europe this week. Tottenham have, of course, been away to Italy. Still there, actually, as we record this. The managers decided to stay over there and train in Italy for the day, then fly back. I mean, they weakened down, as we said, but still, you know, if you want to be at your very best, both in terms of form and in terms of fitness and freshness, if you like, going into any game against Chelsea. They've got that 5-3 that will have, of course, given them plenty of confidence, but it did look like a blip, the definition of a blip, really. Chelsea conceding five goals, and Chelsea, that'll probably be fresh in Chelsea's mind still, won't it?
Having lost,
they won't be conceding five to Tottenham again anytime soon, that's
way,
for sure.
No way. Well, it's totally different this time. I think Chelsea, that was their fourth game in either 10 or 11 days. I remember the stat, but I used it. And I looked, and most of the players have played it every game. That's Christmas period, you know, very, very demanding. And this one's obviously totally different, isn't it? That was, I think, a time where a few of the players were in what Wenger likes to call the, you know, the red zone, where you know, Cahill on that day looked pretty exhausted. Terry did to a degree. You know, Terry, being his age, you know, it's quite remarkable he's carrying on playing like he is. But I think this is a different build up entirely. And I don't know what your odds are on the 5-3, but I wouldn't be having a penny on that 5-3 again. I think that will be another tight game, because I think Chelsea will be conscious of that, and they will not want to concede. I know that doesn't mean they won't concede, but I think it'll be quite a cautious start to that game. That's my humble opinion. And it'll be another tight game. I think Tottenham will be a better proposition than we saw the other day. And a lot will depend on Harry Kane. You know, everyone seems to be expecting him every time to deliver the goods. And it'd be interesting to see if, you know, he can take the pressure, because he seems to be able to do it, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it would be not that his season's finished by any stretch, but that he's had, it would be fantastic for him, you know, just as a neutral, to see him scoring at Wembley in a cup final, of course, with, you know, maybe an England call up round the corner, as in an England start or an England substitution appearance around the corner. There's an interesting bet, actually, anyone who fancies Chelsea to win, but Harry Kane to score. You can get Harry Kane to score in the game, but Chelsea to win at 7-1.
Isn't the worst bet in the world, is it? Yeah, it's not the worst bet in the world. I quite like that. Yeah, that sounds quite tempting. Yeah. You know, especially, does that go to extra time as well?
No, I think that's just 90 minutes.
No, I always like to check that.
Yeah. They don't give us everything, do they, unfortunately?
No, of course not. It's always worth asking.
Yeah, definitely. But Mourinho's got a little bit of a bit of love for this tournament, hasn't he? Won it in his first season, didn't he, in 2005.
He was very passionate that day, wasn't he? He had a bit of a go at the Liverpool fans, didn't he? He likes to put his marker down, doesn't he, quite early.
I think that's fair.
I think he counts every competition seriously for a while, at least. Maybe not so much the FA Cup. I do like that about him. I've just said he was quite happy going out of the FA Cup, but I think it's nice that someone takes this competition seriously. Yeah, and I'm sure the Capital One people probably give him some pretty good credit for that, I should think.
Yeah, very good. We ask each of your colleagues from the Football Writers Association to come up with a bet of the week, one that you think will land every week. Varying success, right, it's fair to say. But is there anything that stands out? I'll run through the Saturday fixtures just to complete the TV game that kicks it all off is West Ham Palace, Burnley Swansea at 3 p.m, Man United Sunderland, Stoke Hull, West Brom Southampton, and Newcastle Aston Villa are the other 3 p.m. kickoffs in a curtailed Premier League fixture list. Is there one that you like? I'm sensing Liverpool one was you're quite.
Yeah,
keen
but on. You, I'm glad you remember that. Yeah, my title tips. You know, as they start their late, dramatic, unbelievable run to pip Chelsea on the last day of the season, they're going to beat Man City. No, I don't believe that's going to happen. But I really have quite a strong view that they could sneak that by one goal. I would have thought they're not going to hammer them, because obviously they haven't been hammering any. Well, haven't been hammering many people this year. But no, I fancy that. I think that's a decent sized bet there.
Yeah, Liverpool are 21-10 to win the game. Liverpool just to win by, you can have Liverpool to win by a single goal, which is 18-5. So it's not the worst price. No, all the correct scores, of course. 1-0, no. Liverpool's 10-1. 2-1 is 9-1. David, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
It's been good to chat to you. At David Woods Star on Twitter, if you want to follow David on there, the chief football reporter from the Daily Star. Thanks for listening to the podcast. You can get it at the Football Writers website, which is footballwriters.co.uk. It's available on Audio Boom as well. And if you go to iTunes and search William Hill Football, you'll be able to subscribe to it then. We deliver the podcast to your phone, your tablet or your PC every time we publish one online. Thanks for listening once again. And if you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.